two items left on today's calendar. 30 on the agenda, we'll receive an update on the 2024 Habitat Stamp. Welcome back, Ryan.
Good morning again, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Ryan Weininger, Habitat Program Administrator. With calendar year 2024 wrapping up, we wanted to provide you an update on the accomplishments with Habitat Stamp funds from this last year. So I'll be covering the terrestrial side, and then we'll have Jake Davis, our Fisheries Program Administrator, join me for the aquatic side. So I'm going to be talking about some projects related to our game production areas, and then as well as our CREP program in the eastern part of the state, and kind of some things we've accomplished there. So the first thing, some of the things that we did on our game production areas, and maybe a little bit down from in the past years as far as grass seedings go using Habitat Stamp funds. We did 60 acres on two different game production areas, but it's important to know that we did plant about 1,600 acres of native grasses and forbs. We just used some other funding to do a lot of those other projects. So it may look like it's a little bit of a lower number this year compared to past years, but still did a lot of great grass seeding, just used funding in a different from a different source for some of that work. So Vanderland GPA there in Campbell County, you can see a few photos of high diversity grass planting, good for pheasants and many of the wildlife species out there needing to reproduce young chicks and things of that nature. So moving along, we did some grazing management, grassland type management installations of a few different things. We did some fencing projects, some water projects, and just trying to help manage our grass a little bit better. Six different GPAs there, some cross fencing things like that, with some high tensile electric wire to help us manage those grasslands to keep them in good shape and productive for nesting and things of that nature as well. And lastly, on game production areas, we improved just over 4 miles of roads and trails leading into our areas. That's one thing we've been trying to do is improve our access, whether you're driving a car or a truck, whatever it might be, is some of these areas can be pretty rough to be able to get in there and be able to hunt, and especially if conditions are wet and things like that in the fall, makes getting to some of these areas kind of difficult. So access is part of that. So we did, like I said, just over 4 miles of roads and trails on six different GPAs. The Moscow GPA up there in McPherson County, you kind of see some before and after photos. And then around Lake over in Coddington County, just improving the access going in there and providing more opportunity for all of our users. And switching gears to our Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, a couple of different watersheds that we have this operating in. You're all very probably familiar with the James River Watershed CREP program, been around for quite a few years. We used Habitat Stamp to fund just over 20,000 acres this past year. Currently, that program sits at just over 85,000 acres of the 100,000 acre goal that we have to reach there. So we continue to add acres, which is great to see in that particular watershed, providing a lot of great opportunity, new habitat, new access, great stuff that our hunters right there in the pheasant belt can utilize. So the Big Sioux River CREP, that one's a little bit newer in the past couple of years. That one's just getting rolling. We have a 25,000 acre goal there, as you guys are probably aware, and we're just sitting at just shy of 4,000 acres. So we're moving forward there, adding acres as the time goes on here, and all those acres in that particular watershed are being funded by Habitat Stamp, and the Habitat Stamp itself is what kind of spearheaded that particular program and it allowed us to add that CREP program in that river watershed. So great to see that along the eastern part of the state where we have a high density, high need for sportsmen and for more places to get outside and recreate and hunt. So, and in summary, about just shy of 25,000 acres of the CREP program was covered by Habitat Stamp funds. Just over $1 million was used to utilize, I guess, Habitat Stamp funds to pay for those CREPs that are being enrolled. So as CREP enrollment continues going in the future, these are annual payments that we're making on these contracts. So as we add additional contracts, that dollar figure will continue to rise. Many of those contracts are 10 to 15 year contracts, so they're somewhat lengthy, which is good because we can keep that on the landscape and offer those opportunities for our users. But as with that comes, I guess, that continued increase in dollar figure as we enroll additional acres. And maximizing these funds, so We are utilizing these licenses, essentially we're treating them as licensed dollars or non-federal dollars. We're able to utilize that as match to capture our Pittman-Robertson dollars to help us pay for our other CREP contracts. Just a way for us to stretch those dollars and make dollars coming in from our users go a lot further. So with that, I'll take any questions on the terrestrial side of things, and then I'll turn it over to Jake Davis.
Any questions for Ryan? I do have just a quick one. Can you just share again how it's determined when you're looking at like some of these road projects? How do you determine where those dollars will go?
Yeah, so staff have a pretty lengthy list of different projects across the state for game production areas. Many of our regional habitat managers are working with local conservation officers, local other staff, could be the parks division, whatever it might be if we have a boat ramp on a particular area, the fishery staff. And typically in the wintertime coming up here this time of year, a lot of those staff are sitting down having conversations on every single GPA that we have, figuring out the next year, the next several years, as far as what we want to do and what we want to accomplish, and then trying to prioritize those different things. And then outside of that, figuring out, okay, what do we have for funding for Pittman-Robertson through our grants, and where do we have money to fund some of those projects? In other cases, it makes maybe more sense to use habitat stamps. So it's a complex thing, but as far as determining projects, that really falls with our local staff, our local field staff out there, utilizing the area, hearing from conservation officers on what sportsmen and women share with them during the fall hunting seasons as to not being able to get to a parcel that they would like, or habitat conditions, whatever it might be. So it's a combination of a lot of communication with our staff and the public.
Very good. Thank you for that answer.
You bet.
Additional questions? Seeing none, we can throw it over to Jake now.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Grobling, again, Jake Davis, with Fisheries Program Administrator. Thanks, Ryan, for covering the first part of that. So I just want to touch on the aquatic side, some of our accomplishments from 2024 using aquatic habitat stamp funds. We've got four categories that I'll touch on briefly and then highlight some examples that we'd like everyone to know about. But we have dam infrastructure maintenance. We have 86 GPO dams across the state, and they do need maintenance from time to time, of course. We also have boat ramps and development there. Also access improvement development, and then finally habitat improvement and development when we look at in-lake habitat. I'll go ahead there, Ryan. So just covering real quick some of our dam infrastructure maintenance. This is something that we started a couple years ago with the inception of the habitat stamp to have some funds available. We have been doing some dam maintenance, but with the addition of the habitat stamp funds, we've been able to increase the number of dams that we're able to address on an annual basis. This year, we addressed two dams and one total rebuild, which I'll cover in a little bit more detail later. In total, we've addressed 26 of the 86 GFP-owned dams across the state, and the big thing to highlight is we have addressed all of the significant high-hazard dams except for one, and what I mean by that, the high-hazard dam, if it were to fail, there's a high probability for the loss of human life, so it's something that we're really happy that we've been able to address these significant high-hazard dams across the state. The example that we have here is Eden Dam in Hanson County. The picture on the left, you can see that we've had some erosion occur. Some of that fill material is washed away. And then on the right is that rehabilitated structure, the spillway, where we've been able to fill in the void that was created and, again, make that structure functional. So, again, this year, two dams that were addressed, and, again, 26 out of 86 total. Go ahead there, Ryan. Also looking at boat ramp improvement and development, again, we have a lot of boat ramps across the state, a number of which are owned and operated by Game Fish and Parks, and they do need maintenance and attention as well. So across the landscape this year, we had 9 total projects that fell within this category, and that covered 8 different counties across the state. The example that we have for you today is Round Lake in Dual County. You can see the picture on your left. You've got what we would consider a small plank ramp. Some of the planks have been moved and are no longer sitting the way that they should be. You have some rock and gravel covering portions of the boat ramp. We're able to go in and replace that, the picture on the right, with a large plank ramp, and then add a dock for angler use, just watercraft use and ease of launching and pulling the watercraft out of the water. And again, just make that ramp a lot more functional for users. Go ahead there, Ryan. Habitat improvement is also a large part of what we do. This can be a variety of ways that we address habitat improvement across the landscape. Each system might be a little different as far as what it needs to improve the habitat within that system for a fishery. So we address it in a number of different ways. We have aeration as a project. We have one that we did out in Custer State Park this year, finished that up. We also have dredge systems that fill in the sediment, increase storage capacity, and also available fish habitat. I'll touch on that a little bit more. This is the example that we have here on the Sturgis Lions Pond. We also do permitting for certain activities on these water bodies. And then additionally, we have in-lake habitat structures that we place out. These can be both natural and artificial structures. The natural structures, examples there would be root wads or discarded Christmas trees. That can be great fish habitat, spawning habitat, holding cover, that sort of thing. And then additionally, we have artificial structures. There's some commercially made products that we use that, again, increase complexity, allow for spawning habitat, and also some holding cover. The example here is a great one. It's an urban community fishery in Sturgis. If folks are familiar with it, it's right off the main drag when you're heading either into town or out of town towards Fort Meade from the city center. It's a water body that gets a lot of angler use, a lot of use by youth, and was quite filled in with sediment vegetation. This is a state-owned dredge. Game Fish and Parks owns this dredge that we've used in the past on water bodies such as Canyon Lake. Staff were able to go in and work with the city, and in the end, took quite a bit of time, I'd say month and a half, but in the end, able to remove quite a bit of material and make that fishery a lot more viable into the future for those users. Go ahead there, Ryan. Then moving on to some of our access projects, again, a lot of different access areas across the state, and as such, we try and address them as they come up. This year, we were able to accomplish 21 access projects. Now, these access projects can be anything from improving a trail or a road, such as the little over 4 miles that we improved this year, but they can also include fishing pods, fishing piers, docks, really anything that gets users to the water better than what they had before. This can also include clearing cattails on some of our small impoundments that are really filled in with vegetation around the shoreline. So again, 21 projects across the state. The example that we have here is this West Bend ice fishing access. So you can see just with that level area, a lot easier for when that hard water period starts for users to get to that water. We also lease private land to get users to public water. And so we have 121 acres that are signed up through 16 leases. Now, this may not seem like a lot, that 121 acres. However, the big impact is the amount of water that's opened up with these leases. So in this case here, we've got just over 8,300 acres of water that are now open to users because of these leases, and additionally 80 river miles. So again, these leases really, while they may be small as far as the amount of acres that we sign up, it's the amount of water that they open up is the important component. And then I just want to highlight one project here on the Fort Pierre National Grasslands, a really great cooperative effort between South Dakota Game Fish and Parks, U.S. Forest Service, a private individual. This is a lower booth rebuild. This is a dam that was no longer viable. You can see pictures here. It's got basically hay occurring within that former water body lake bed. And that's as a result of a dam failure. And so this is one that was identified by staff, and also Forest Service is one that was a popular fishery prior. Go ahead there, Ryan. Popular fishery prior, but with the failure, you can see where the dam failed on that right side and really not holding much for water anymore. Additionally, the access trail, which is that lower left picture, really not a very improved road, hard for users to get to, but again, there was nothing for them to get to, but identified by staff as something that was a major low-hanging fruit and an opportunity for us. Go ahead, Ryan. So we were able to partner with U.S. Forest Service and a private individual, come up with the funds. You've got the engineering, as well as some of the initial portions of that project occurring, where you've got a dam regrade, filling in with riprap on the dam to protect that structure, and again, just a lot of grading and dirt work that occurred on there. Go ahead, Ryan. Just some additional pictures. You can see different aspects of the dam on there as far as spillways and things like that, and just making things functional again. And then a big part of that was, how do we get users to this water body, because that access trail was in quite poor shape. on that upper right picture is a improved access road. Forest Service was a big partner in this. And so again, not only creating this fishery or recreating it, but then creating better access to get users to it once it's filled up. Go ahead there, Ryan. Also, because we had the opportunity with the lake being empty, if you will, we were able to add a lot of structures in the water body itself. You can see rook wads in the center there. They were added for fish habitat. That lower left is actually a fishing pond off the dam, a bump out. And so to get people, again, better access to that fishery, new boat ramp. So again, just a complete facelift for this fishery that was no longer viable. But again, I just wanted to highlight this because this was a major success story for us, highlighted just an excellent partnership between multiple entities. That's something that really is going to be a benefit for users on the Fort Pierre National Grassland.
All right, I'll take it back over here from Jake. I guess, I don't know, is there any questions for Jake regarding the aquatic side of things?
Questions for Jake? I do have one, Jake. You had mentioned, and can you just remind us, you said there's one high hazard dam that's not been maintenanced. Can you remind us of what dam that is?
Chair, I'll have to look at my list just to make sure I speak. If possible, can I just provide that after the meeting?
Absolutely.
Again, I have to look at my list to make sure I don't get it wrong.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, I'll carry on here. Ryan Weniger here, Habitat Program Administrator. So just to kind of wrap up Habitat Stamp 2024 accomplishments, wanted to provide you guys with a few maps and then just remind people of the dashboard that we have available. So this map here is our 2024 completed project list, just shy of $2.7 million. It shows all the CREP areas there in green. The red ones are the projects completed on game production areas, and then the blue dots are the aquatic projects. So spread out quite a bit across the state. Again, quite a few points there. East River, just due to the amount of CREP in those particular two watershed programs that we're paying for with Habitat Stamp. The next map here is just a cumulative effort of all of our different Habitat Stamp projects since the inception of the program or that funding source. Again, you can just see all the different things that we've done across the state. And again, East River, a lot more points there, I guess, to some degree, just due to the number of game production areas that we have, the number of water bodies that we have, and then the number of CREP enrollments in those particular two watersheds. But just a lot of projects that have happened across the state benefiting, obviously, the wildlife out there as well as our users, improved access, things along those lines. As we continue to move forward here, we'll continue to add points to this map and accomplish additional projects. So just I want to remind everybody in the general public, obviously, as well as others listening in, we do have the Habitat Stamp dashboard. You're able to go in here and sort by year, sort by different types, and you can zoom in on particular points, click on a particular point, see what the cost of that particular project was. Majority of the points do have pictures attached to them. We're still working on capturing and getting photos uploaded to each particular point. But many of the points for like the game production areas and the aquatic projects that we've completed over the years do have photos attached. So if people want to go in there and look, they can see specifically what was accomplished and the cost of that particular project. Best way to find that is probably to go to the website and just type in the search box. Habitat Stamp dashboard is probably the quickest way to find that, but just a great resource for those out there that are looking for where we're spending our money when it comes to Habitat Stamp. And with that, I guess stand by for any remaining questions.
Additional questions, comments? Seeing none, very good report. Thanks to both
Thank you.
You and Jake.